Welcome everybody to What We Watched. We official week one. Last week episode, was the intro.
Episode like last week was like episode 0.5. This is officially episode one.
Woo!
Yeah.
Who's ready?
I am.
Me.
Okay.
So this week we watched Little Women 2019, and I'm just going to read a little description and tell you a little bit about this movie before we start talking into what our thoughts and feelings were about it. So it on IMDb, it's rated a 7.8 out of 10, 95% on Rotten Tomatoes, critic score, 4.2 out of 5 on Letterboxd. So some pretty high scoring there. And then I'm just going to read a short description for those who maybe didn't watch the movie or have watched it in the past and just want to be reminded. The 2019 adaptation of Little Women, directed by Greta Gerwig, is based on Louisa May Alcott's classic semi-autobiographical novel. The film follows the lives of the four March sisters, Jo, Meg, Beth, and Amy, growing up in post-Civil War America as they navigate love, ambition, family, and societal expectations. The story is told in a nonlinear format, interweaving past and present. Jo, an aspiring writer, struggles with balancing her independence and desire for creative fulfillment with societal pressures to marry. Meg dreams of a family life. Beth is shy and musically gifted, but suffers from illness. And Amy, the youngest, is ambitious and artistic, determined to marry well to support her family. Their relationships with family friend Lori, their neighbor Mr. Lawrence, and Jo's eventual mentor and love interest, Frederick Bear, are central to the plot. The film explores themes of sisterhood and self-determination, offering a fresh perspective on timeless struggles faced by women. Gerwig's direction, combined with performances of Saoirse Ronan, Florence Pugh, Emma Watson, and Eliza Scant, received widespread acclaim, as did the film's cinematography, score, and costume design.
Yeah.
There it is.
Apt
Shall we
description.
Talk?
Yep.
Let's do it.
If you'll remember from last week, dear viewer or listener, we will be rating and talking about movies based on five categories. Is it five? No. Yeah, five.
Six.
Hold on. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yes, six categories, which are plot, character, aesthetic, writing, acting, and music.
Love it.
So to get into it, plot. I will turn it over to Natalie because this is her favorite movie. So what do you think?
This is my favorite movie,
plot?
Guys. I will say, okay, so for our rating system, this week we just did it out of 10 or gave it a grade. So I will tell you to start, I gave it a 9.5 and an A, well, A minus, you know, in there. Well, it was interesting to watch this movie thinking about how I would like talk about it on this podcast, a little different perspective. I honestly feel like it's just your typical like coming of age. Nothing really happens except for like Beth dying. Spoiler alert. Like there's not a ton there. It's just girls living life and like making decisions about their futures. And so like, I feel like for what it is, it's pretty good. Not like anything crazy goes on with it, but I don't know. I like it. I think it's interesting to watch. So I gave it like a solid 9.5. What did you think, nice. Garrett? I want to hear your thoughts.
Yes. So I will just say very quickly overall, which we'll say our overall thoughts towards the end, but just to satiate all the concerns out there, I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was fantastic. And I have to say that as a preface before what I say, give for my plot rating, because I would give the plot probably an 8 out of 10 or like a B. Like you were saying, there really isn't like much like to the plot other than like you're just kind of watching this family. Mm-hmm. And like that's kind of the point. But like it's more like you were saying, it's more of a coming of age, like slice of life type movie. Mm-hmm. And generally those types of movies, like for example, Lady Bird, also by Greta Gerwig, kind of similar vibes where like when I imagine a good plot, it's something you can sum up in like two sentences, like... Mm-hmm. The Fellowship needs to take the ring to Mount Doom, or Harry Potter needs to discover this hidden mystery or whatever. And there isn't really anything, like, you can't really do that with Little Women.
No, you can't.
like the
broad... That's why the description was that long.
Yeah, exactly. Like the you would have to make it so broad where it's just like, watch these little women live. So yeah. Because of that, I think the plot, like, and it's not to say like it was bad by any means, obviously, but...
An 8 is a great score, Garrett.
Yes, I know. I'm just worried. People will come at me. But this is definitely more of a character-driven type movie, which is like I said last week, that's like my favorite thing. And mm-hmm. because of that, I gave A Moving On to the character a little faster. But
yeah,
I gave character a 9 out of 10, or an A score, because like I said, very character-driven movie. Like that's pretty much the sole point of you're just watching these people, these sisters, this family over the course of like 7-ish years, 10 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you really get to know like pretty much all of the core four sisters and mm-hmm. Lori. And is it, it's his grandpa or is his dad, Mr. Lawrence?
Mr. Lawrence is his grandpa.
Yeah. And like Miss March, Marsh, and like just everybody.
Yeah.
So I'll say a little bit more on character in a second, but I want to hear your thoughts on character.
Yes. Obviously, this is my favorite movie, so everything's going to be pretty high on my scoring. Mm-hmm. I gave character a 10 because I think, like you said, this is a very mm-hmm. character-driven story. If you don't love the characters, this movie is nothing.
Yeah.
So I love the dynamics between the sisters. I feel like maybe we should just talk about like a little bit of each of the, I don't know, how should we go about it? Yeah. Well, I'll start with Jo, because mm-hmm. she's kind of our main character. Louisa May Alcott is kind of like, that's kind of who she based her off of herself.
Mm-hmm.
Very like ahead of the times, very like feminist, wants to do her own thing, mm-hmm. Wants to be a writer. I think Jo is pretty relatable as that she's kind of an outsider, but that she loves her family. She wants to provide for her family. And yeah, I love Jo. Think she's mm-hmm. great. What did you think of her?
I really, really like Jo. I think she's pretty, like, easy to kind of, like, root for and, like, very, mm-hmm. very, like, there's things that she does that are frustrating. Like, no, like, why can't you just be with Lori? But, like, you also understand, like, no, like, obviously, like, she has her own mind made up on these things. But something I really liked about Jo, because you mentioned, like, she has, like, a very, like, she's obviously, like, way ahead of the times at that time, very feminist in that sort of regard. In terms of like marriage and stuff like that. And I really liked how they pointed out, like, they're not saying that like Jo's mindset is wrong by any means, but her in her big monologue where she goes on about like how women are like kind of, they should be respected more than they are at that time and stuff. And I really like at the very end, she's like, but I'm so lonely.
Yeah.
And it's just so like, dang, like it just shows you like, she's not wrong in anything that she's really doing. But it's also kind of leading, just because of the culture and society that she's in, it's led her to like kind of close herself off and, you know, ostracize herself from that type of culture because she's like, nah, I don't want to be a part of it. But it's led mm-hmm. to that, like, just loneliness, which I found very compelling, very relatable, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Like putting herself through that, which she really doesn't need to.
Yeah.
So I really like Jo. Very easy to root
for. Yeah. Yeah. And she's, it's also interesting because, like, she. Also, like, it's interesting between, like, the dynamic between the sisters because they're all so different. They all want different things in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when Jo goes to Meg and is like, don't get married. Like, come run away with me. Come be an actor. Like, do your own thing. And she's, and, mm-hmm. like, Meg's like, whoa, like, I want to get married. Like, this is what I want. Like, that's great that you're doing that. I love that they all support each other, but like that they're all kind of like, wait, but do you want to come with me and do my thing? You know? But yeah, I think Jo's very interesting. That monologue that you were talking about, I actually put later that we can also talk about too, because I love that scene. But awesome. Yeah. Yeah. We love Jo.
I think my favorite characters, I mean, we'll just go through the sisters, I guess, but
yeah.
I think, just to throw this out there, I think my favorite characters are probably Mr. Lawrence, Beth, Amy, and Jo. I think them mm-hmm. four are very, very good. But let's go on to, I know we're kind of messing up the order here, but Meg.
No, I love
it. What
do
you think of Meg?
Meg, you know, Meg is interesting because I low-key feel like she's the most similar to me, but I don't like her the most.
Let's unpack that, Natalie.
Don't know what
let's
that means about myself, but like she's pretty just like, she wants to be married. She wants to have a family. She knew it for a long time. She wants to follow the rules. She tells Joe to follow the rules, you know, like she wants to fit in, like when she goes to the party thing and she's like, and then Lori's like, bro, what are you doing? Like, this isn't you. Like, I think that she's pretty interesting. I don't think she's the most interesting of the sisters, but I mean, I like her. I think she's very typical oldest sister.
Yeah.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
And I think there's really like not that much to be said about Meg, kind of
what
you're saying.
Yeah.
It's like she's just kind of like the typical older sister, has her mind made up, does what she wants to do, like
knows what she wants in life.
Yeah.
Wants to be the example, wants to show people, like, totally.
And her, like, I think I talk about this a little bit later too, but her relationship with her husband is really good too. I really like their family.
Yeah.
But what about Beth?
Beth, poor little Beth. I feel so bad for her.
Beth is low-key my goat of this movie.
Yeah, she's so sweet. Tell me what you think about Beth since you love her.
I'll talk about Beth and Mr. Lawrence in the same time.
Their relationship is so tender.
Because that probably was my favorite part of the movie, was their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because going into this movie, I thought like my favorite part was going to be like Laurie and his pining after Joe and pining after Amy. And because when I first saw those scenes where he like tried to propose to Joe and she denied him like years ago, I was like, this is just my life. Like, this is just my experience with women. But as I've grown up and like matured, quote unquote, a little bit more, like, I still love Laurie. I still love those scenes, but I found the more compelling part to be with Beth and Mr. Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Just his whole, like, going through his process of mourning of losing his daughter, but then Beth is able to help him like open up more. And I put this in my notes. I think potentially my two favorite scenes are when Beth goes over to his house for the first time to play the piano, and then he just sits by the stairs like away from her
and
so
listens.
She can't see, but he just listens and kind of starts crying. Like, that got me, man. I was like, dang. And then the part
hit you
where
in the feels.
Exactly. And then the part where Mr. Lawrence gives Beth the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just so like overcome and goes to his house and like thanks him for it. And he's like, you just remind me so much of her. Like, that was just so
sweet.
Good, so compelling. And like,
I know,
she's just such a good person. And
I know,
she's the best of them.
She's the most pure.
Yeah.
She's just
exactly.
So cute. I know, it's so cute. I actually, this time when I was watching it, that scene when he gives her the piano stuck out to me too. I don't know why. Because it usually is, it's not like really, that's not my favorite part of the story. We can kind of talk about that later. But like when they're all like fawning over the piano and like Amy's like, oh my gosh, look at the gold trim. Like, it's so beautiful. And she's just like, she literally like steps back. She's like, what? Like, just so grateful. And then like literally walks right over. And it's so sweet. I think it's so cute.
Yeah.
She's
and it's
the
very,
best. Very sad.
Exactly. Like, poor Beth. She's like, I mean, it's like, as Amy says, she's like the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
She's like,
totally. Yeah.
The most like their mom, too.
Totally.
For
yeah.
Sure.
Just very quiet. Like, she wants to keep the peace. She's just so cute. And I also think it's interesting when they're all talking about what they want, like in life, and they're talking about their talents and stuff. And like, Amy's like, I want to be the most famous painter in the world. And she's like, and they're all like, well, what about you, Beth? Like, what about your music? And she's like, I just like to play it for you guys. Like, she's so cute.
She's just so humble.
I love it. So humble. Yeah. Very tender.
And lastly, of the sisters, Amy. Oh,
yes,
Amy.
I have to say, I love Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Love her.
I was going to say this later, but then I, just because we're talking about her, for those who don't know, in the flashback scenes, Amy is like 13 or 12 years old. And Florence Pugh was 22 when she played this 12-year-old girl. And that, like, it took me a sec to get used to that. But that being said, Florence Pugh is freaking hilarious as little girl Amy. Like, I thought Beth was the youngest sister for a while, and then
I
looked
it
up.
I did too when I first saw it, yeah.
Then I looked it up, and I was like, wait, Amy is supposed to be 12 years old, and Florence Pugh is like
so
22?
Weird.
Yeah.
This isn't the first adaptation, by the way. Like, there's been several adaptations, and I can't, what is her name? She's in the original Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's her name?
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, she plays Amy as young Amy in the one with Christian Bale.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah. Anyways, so, but they use the same actor, which is a little weird because it's like, okay, she's supposed to be like a kid. But anyways, yeah, she is hilarious.
It was that scene in the school when she's in at school and like all these other children are like normal 12-year-old looking girls. And I was like, wait, why is she there? Like, what? But yes, talking about the character, Amy's great. She's hilarious. She's driven. Her dynamic with Joe and their relationship of loving each other, but also being jealous of each other is really compelling. Very interesting. Yeah, she's great.
As a writer, how did you feel when she burned Joe's, Joe's writing?
I wanted to punch Amy in the face, dude. Amy, that was something as I was like looking up stuff after I watched it. I learned that like a lot of people like before this movie kind of hated Amy. She was just like the brat character, which she still is here. But Florence Pugh makes her, and Greta Gerwig obviously, make her a lot more compelling than I think she is in other adaptations and maybe even in the book. I don't know. I haven't read the book, but I thought Amy was great.
No, I haven't seen the other adaptations, and I also haven't read the book. Amy and Laurie are actually part of the reason why I watched this movie, because it wasn't the scene on the hill where Laurie's like confessing his love for Joe that I saw before I saw the movie. It was actually the scene where Laurie tells Amy not to marry what's-his-face. Yeah. That was the scene that I had seen, and I was like, what is this movie? Like, I need to watch it. And so I already had like a pretty like strong connection to her in that way, because I was like, I felt, that's one of the scenes that I felt. Like, it was like, now you want me? Like, I've been second to Joe my whole life. What is going on now that she doesn't want you? Like, I love that part where she's like, wait, what? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But I love
actually
Amy.
I have that in my notes on the writing section, parts of that scene. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about it more.
Yeah. I also love her monologue when she's talking about like marriage as an economical proposition. Like she's like, it might not be for you, but it is for me. Like, I have to think about these things. So I love Amy. I also love Florence Pugh. So that might be part of it, why I'm biased. So
we love Flo. We love Flo.
We love Flo,
podcast.
Our girl. Yeah. Okay. Should we move on?
Yes. Moving on. To writing.
Okay, love it.
So what did you think about the writing? Because I could probably go off on this for a while. So let's start out with your thoughts.
It gave the writing a 9.5. I didn't give it a 10. I gave it a 9.5. I think most of it is great. I will say one of the reasons why is because of Amy, because of the whole like age gap thing. It's a little confusing if you don't know what's actually going on. I think Flo does a good job of doing what she can with it. So like props to her as an actor, being very like immature at the beginning and then having to like take it and be like a mature, like, you know, her progress is pretty interesting because her dynamic is so different throughout. I think some of the, like, obviously some of the most beautiful scenes ever are in, like, the writing, all the monologues. Like, I love Laurie's big, like,
confession of love and stuff.
Is so beautiful. I think it's, the writing is so natural. Obviously, I think some of it is the acting. I think all the actors have a great dynamic. Again, the attic scene where she's like, I care more to be loved. I'm so lonely. Like, that part is amazing. But yeah, I think also, then obviously, like, known a lot about this movie and like looked at a lot of things. And the script is so interesting because, like, it was written for like the girls to speak over each other and stuff.
Yeah,
so like,
I
think that part is really cool. It's like very natural. If you have siblings, you know that that's a lot of how it is. It's just like a lot of yelling over each other. And so I think the writing of that was cool. I also really like the way that they did the time jumps. In previous adaptations, they've done them chronologically, but I think it makes the story a lot more interesting to be able to like see it back and forth. And then I also wrote, though, one of the reasons why I brought it down from to a 9.5 was towards the end of the movie when they're doing like the letters and they're like shooting that, like they're doing the writing where they're like talking to the camera. That's a little weird, not my favorite.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think the writing is beautiful. I think it's good.
Yeah. I would probably agree on like the whole like how they chose to do the letter thing. But I would put that more, like, I kind of put the thought of that in the aesthetic category.
Okay.
Just because that seems like an editing
more
choice.
More like a directorial,
of like, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But we'll talk about that later. I gave the writing, I was going back and forth between this and like 9.5, but I give the writing a 10 out of 10 score. I thought it was really, really, really good. It's like kind of what you said already. It's very like, it flows very nicely together. And obviously that's partially due to the acting, which we'll talk about in the next segment, but it's very compelling, very flowing. There's tons of like good lines, like what you said, the I care more to be loved. I'd rather be like loved than like love, that type of stuff. And then what you said, the part where Florence Pugh goes on, or Amy goes on her monologue after Laurie tells her, like, you shouldn't marry him, you should marry me. And she says, like, I've been second to Joe my whole life and everything. I'm not going to be the person you settle for just because you can't have her. And then this part, this line is so good. The I won't do it, not when I've spent my entire life loving you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
yeah,
just like the, she's not going to accept him or not going to accept his marriage proposal, even though she's loved him her whole life. Like, those two things like obviously contradict each other, but it's so like, that's the point. It's like, that's how heartbreaking it is. It's like,
yeah,
even though she loves him, she doesn't want to be second. She wants to be,
yeah,
like his first choice.
Yeah, totally. I also love talking more about like Amy and Laurie's dynamic when he goes to like the ball and she says something about like, I would be respected if I wasn't loved or something like it,
yeah,
like something along those lines. I remember when I first like watched it, I was like, ooh, burn,
yeah,
like so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know, obviously at that point when you're watching it for the first time, you don't know the whole like Laurie Joe dynamic, but
mm-hmm,
yeah, it's a burn.
It's like, just like, there really wasn't a line in here that I was like, ugh, that was weird or anything like that. Like, obviously there's like the way they chose to have people read letters directly to the camera.
Yeah.
But like the lines that they were reading were really good. It was just,
yeah,
like the choice to do it like that was weird.
That's fair. Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was super compelling. Like you said, the way it cut back and forth was very interesting, how it like mirrored past and present.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically when Beth died, which we'll,
mm-hmm,
talk about that. At least I'll talk about that a little bit later. And yeah, I think we kind of, everything you said, I would probably agree with. Like there really isn't any writing choice that I would disagree with. I think it's all very nice, flows very nicely together. The way Greta Gerwig adapted it was probably one of the best adaptations of a book, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I also think that it's so interesting because it was, what was the year of that book came out? I'm like, I need to look it up really quick. But like they took some of the dialogue straight from that book and they made it like sound modern. Like it's not like you're looking at the way that it was acted. Like it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm watching like an old timey, like,
mm-hmm,
I don't understand what they're saying, you know, like it didn't feel like Shakespearean in any way that you're like, I can't, what are they saying? You know?
Yeah.
Which I think is really awesome. Let me look at when it was written. It's literally written in 1868.
Yeah.
So to take that and like make it flow and all that stuff, I think is incredible. And she did a great job.
Testament to her writing ability for sure.
Yeah.
Like Greta Gerwig's dialogue is like, she's like some of the best in the business right now in terms of dialogue.
Yeah.
Like it just sounds so normal, like you were saying.
Yeah.
But moving on to, actually, wait, I forgot to talk about this because I put this in the writing category as well, the themes. Yeah, I really like the themes of this, obviously, like the themes of like family and marriage and stuff were very compelling. And I specifically found the exploration of marriage very interesting because,
mm-hmm,
a lot of people, like just discourse I've seen online and stuff has been like, oh, Greta Gerwig saying like marriage is terrible. And it's like, did you watch the movie? Because
like
that's
no,
that's like not the point at all. Because like you said in that one part when, at least the way I interpreted it, that one part when, Amy's saying like marriage is like she called it an economic proposition.
Yeah.
And it's like I have to worry about like my kids will be my husband's kids, like my property,
yeah,
with my husband's property, my money is my husband's money, and all that stuff. And she's like, I have to marry rich. I have to do all these things. And like, obviously their aunt also says the same things of like, you have to marry rich. You have to do this. But I find that very interesting because like every couple we see in the movie is kind of the opposite of that. It's like, mm-hmm. oh no, Meg and her husband are like very poor, but they're very loving. They love each other a lot. Like it's not just that they got married as an economical proposition. It was because they really love each other. Same with the pit, like the Marsh parents, like they March, I keep calling them Marshes, the March parents. Like they like really love each other, even though they're poor. And like every couple, Amy and Lori and stuff, it's not, they didn't get married because they had to, they got married because they chose to and really love each other. And so I think people who think that this movie is like anti-marriage and anti-love are just dumb because it's like, did you watch the movie? That's like the opposite of what it's trying to say.
Well, and then she ends up marrying for love anyways because she loves Lori. So it's like she thinks everything that she, and it's also like, again, every sister is different. Like they're not bagging on marriage at all. Like that's literally all, like, it's just the different ways that like marriage is viewed.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. I really liked how Greta handled it. It was very cool. It could have been done very poorly and she did it very, very expertly.
Shout out to Greta. Love you.
Shout out Greta. Next one, acting.
Yes.
What did you give
acting? You start.
Okay. I give the acting a 9.5 out of 10. I think everyone is pretty much on their A game. Like the chemistry, like you were saying, from everybody is like immaculate. Like they just feel like a family. Like every scene they're in, it's like, this just feels like you put a camera in like my family dinners. Like this is just like, this is just a family. They're like the chemistry between obviously the sisters, like we were saying, but also like the couples was really good. The monologues are just expertly delivered. Like I think the reason the writing is so good is also because of the acting.
Totally,
the acting is that good behind it. But like I said, Florence Pugh plays a 12-year-old, which is kind of weird. But like she does it really good, so I'm not really docking points from that. The main reason why I didn't give it a 10 is I do think a couple people are miscast. Like not terribly so. Like I think everybody still does a good job. But like, I'm sorry, I love this man so much. But Bob Odenkirk was like, he just doesn't really fit in the rest of the movie.
I fully agree. Yeah.
Like it's like probably because I've seen him in like Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad and all these other things. So every time I see him, I'm just like, oh, it's Saul Goodman. But like, there's just like, and he's still great in it for the time that he's in it. But it's just like, he doesn't really fit with everybody else. And then, well, I still love her, still love her character, still adore the actress. She's like my first crush. Emma Watson, I think, might have been cast, like somebody else could have done Meg a little bit better.
Totally.
Mainly because her accent slips in and out like all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny. Like there's times where like the entire movie, you can watch her and be like, I can tell this is a British person trying to put on an English accent. And it's hard.
I fully agree.
It's hard because she's up against like Saoirse Ronan, who has a very thick Irish accent in real life. And you can't see any of that.
And you can't even tell. You wouldn't even know.
Exactly. So still like Emma Watson, Bob Odenkirk do great in the roles that they're given, but I think they could have been cast a little bit better. Also, I do have to shout out Mr. Lawrence, one of my favorite characters, played by Mr. Texas T from the Muppets movie, Tex Richmond. But just had to throw
Tex
that
Richmond
in there. Yeah.
Love you.
Anyways, what did you think?
I actually gave it a 9.5 for the exact same reasons. I think for the most part, the acting is incredible. The dynamics between the characters are amazing. I think they're all very compelling to watch, very interesting. They all did their characters well. But yeah, I agree. I don't think Emma Watson was anything special in this movie. And her accent, again, slips in and out. Somebody could definitely have done it just as well or better than her, for sure. For the most part, I fully agree with everything you said, though. So, hey, look at us.
Yeah, look at us agreeing. That won't happen all the time. I have to say one last thing on this because I feel bad because I went off on him for a second. Bob Odenkirk, one of my favorite actors working today. I love the guy. He just wasn't Mr. Marsh, in my opinion. But moving on to the next category, do you have anything else to say on acting?
I feel like we maybe just need to have a section just about, I mean, we've mentioned it several times, but maybe just to like get it out of the way. just the love confession, Timmy's monologue. What was your thoughts now that you've seen it within the context of the film?
Yeah, now that I've seen it within the context of the movie. Like I said, when I first saw that like years ago on like film Instagram posts, I was like, this man is just living like my reality. Like this is just my representation. But like now I feel, I still like relate to that. I still 100% like feel for him a lot, feel for Joe a lot in that scene. And it's funny because like I'm probably even more down bad now than I was when I first encountered that scene. But yeah, I think in terms of acting, that scene is probably the best in the movie potentially. Just you feel like you when I first saw that scene, I was like, man, Joe, you suck. Why don't you just like love this guy? Like you clearly have feelings for him. But now that I watched the movie and like understand it more, I totally see her side of it as well. Mm-hmm. Of like,
yeah,
like I don't want to love you. I don't want to like go into this relationship because I know you're going to love me more than I'm going to love you. And like she's just as wrong, but just as right as Lori mm-hmm. is in the situation.
Yeah. No, I literally love that scene so much. It's so good. Just Timmy just going, but I thought you'd love me.
Yeah.
I thought you'd love me. Like, I thought at some point, like, this would work out. Like, it's heartbreaking. But I will say, for all you listeners out there, I am an Amy Laurie defender. I think that they are the people that should have ended up together, as is Joe and Frederick. Even though he's not that much of an interesting character, I do think that he is exactly what Joe needs. She needs somebody that's going to push her a little bit, going to challenge her a little bit, and also just like, you know, I feel like they fit, even though, you know, she was forced into having some sort of relationship, give or take.
That part in the Joe Lori monologue when she's like explaining all the reasons why like their marriage wouldn't work, mm-hmm. and he's just like staring at her, he's like, I love you, Joe.
I know.
I love you, Joe. Just like trying to shut her up. Like it's like so sad and so good.
It's so sad.
Also the scene like that you just mentioned of Frederick, how he's like pushing her, the part where he's reading her work and she's so excited and he's just like, I don't think it's good.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like any of these.
Has nobody ever talked to you like this?
Yeah. Like as a writer, that scene, that might have been this time around the most relatable scene of the movie. Because like, that's what I'm literally going through right now of like giving people what I've written. And then like, I need somebody to be like, this isn't good. Like you can do better. Like I know you can. And the part where she's like, I'm no Shakespeare. And he's like, good. Because we've already had him.
We already got that. Yeah.
Like that's so good. That was such a good line.
I'm glad you appreciate Frederick.
Do you think they ended up married at the end? Because it's kind of like ambiguous as if they did or not.
I think that yes. Yeah.
I would agree.
They're the people that need to be together. Because I think also like, I think Joe realizes that she needs somebody to fulfill her, like to fill that need of loneliness, especially at that time. I mean, I think that it would be really cool if Joe like went off and did her own thing and like never got married and whatever. But I think at that time, that's not realistic. Like, that's the whole point, right? Like, it's like she's trying to do her thing and she can't really make it work. So like, but she found somebody. Like, she found somebody that works and that fits. And you know, in the other adaptations, he's like an old creepy man. So I'm glad that he's not, from my understanding. So I'm glad. No. I think what Greta Gerwig did with every part of this movie was so, so good. And I think with Frederick, she did a great job too.
Yeah.
So
making him a fun Frenchman rather than a creepy old man.
Yeah, exactly.
But moving on to aesthetic, as in like the cinematography and editing and stuff, what are your thoughts?
I just did a 10 because I think that this film is beautiful. I love, especially watching it, like I said, with more of a critical mind. I was like, I just love it. I do think that like if you were to like swap the whole letter thing, it would flip my grades for writing versus aesthetic. You know, everything kind of goes hand in hand. But like for aesthetic, I love the warm. I love the cool, like the color grading, the warm versus cool to show like the past and the present.
Yeah.
I think there's a beautiful variety in shots and perspectives. And like, I love the wide shots. Like one that stands out that just off the top of my head when Amy turns down the proposal and like it's like these big trees and it's just the music that you're hearing and you can tell that she said no and like all that stuff. So good. I also think the parallels between like Beth being like sick the first time versus the second time and then when she dies, like how beautifully they paralleled and like if you watch them side by side, like they line up perfectly.
Yeah. That part where it like exactly what you said, where it's showing like when Beth got better in the past and then it cuts and does the exact same thing, but Beth didn't get better. Like Jo going down the stairs and seeing her mom in the same chair and turns around the exact same way. Like that was like the best edit or aesthetic part of the movie, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, my thoughts, I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Love
I think like I like you were saying, editing was great, cinematography was great. The reason it's not a 10 is like obviously the cinematography is fantastic, but I don't think there is like necessarily a shot that I was like, it was all beautiful, but there wasn't a shot where I was like, I really love and connect with that a lot.
Yeah.
Like there isn't, this is kind of how I view, I need to probably change my mindset on it, but this is kind of how I view like good cinematography. It's like, if I would have that as like my desktop or my screensaver, like that's, there just wasn't really a shot like that in here. Besides like, I think Jo and Beth at the beach, the
I was just
going to
say that. I was literally,
so good.
I was literally going to say, wait, but the beach.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous.
Those scenes are like, in my opinion, the best shots of the movie. But yeah, there just wasn't like too much of, I don't know, there wasn't too many shots where I was like, dang, wow, that's amazing. It was just like, it was
that's
all really
fair.
Good. It was all super solid. And then like we
great.
Were saying,
I love it.
Yeah. And like we were saying, the choice to have the people read the letters directly to the camera.
Not
my favorite.
Move.
Yeah.
Not the move.
So doesn't take me out necessarily, but it's like, why are you talking at me right now? Why are you talking directly
like,
to me?
It's like, that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's not like throughout the movie, it just kind of like pops out of nowhere and you're like, whoa, why are you talking at me?
Exactly. It's like, what the first time it happens at the very beginning with Frederick, I was like, was that like supposed to like,
you're it, like, where did that
what?
Come from?
Yeah. Is he in the room with
and
her?
And then it
like,
goes away and
yeah.
then it comes back at the end and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, aesthetically, very great. Very
love
good.
It. Okay.
All right. Final category, music.
Music, one of my favorite categories. I will say, going into the movie, like watching it this time, I was like, I don't think the music's going to be that high. But while I was paying attention to it, I was like, no, wait, this music is great. I think it's so good. I also think that it like does a really good job of like telling the story and it really fits the vibe of this movie. I think at this point, having watched it as many times as I have, it is very recognizable. But yeah, I think it was good. Pretty quiet, very simple. Like, it's not anything crazy, but I think that fits the film. So they did a great job.
Exactly. I'd kind of say the same thing. Like, it's exactly what the movie needed. Like, the music, like, just fits very well with the story it's trying to tell, the period piece, the type of genre it is of coming of age. Like, it all just makes sense. But just due to personal preference, I gave it like an 8 out of 10. Still great, obviously, but it's on this first watch through, at least it wasn't really, I couldn't see myself like listening to the music outside of watching the movie. That makes sense.
Which is fair. Totally.
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of what my thought was like going into it was I was like, I've never once been like, I need to listen to the Little Women score. But now that I've seen it so many times and I watched it again, I was like, wait, why don't I listen to the Little Women score?
Yeah.
So maybe it's just one of those things that grows on you because of the connection of everything.
Yeah.
Like once you've seen it enough, it's like, okay, wait, it's good, you know? But I think an 8 is a great score. Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Was that our last one?
That was our last category. So what are your overall thoughts and grade of Little Women?
I think everybody knows because this is my favorite film of all time. And mm-hmm. it was all part of my plan just to get everybody in my life to watch it, to make it be the first movie we watch. But I love this movie. Even though I graded it like a 9.5 in some categories, I'm just going to give it a 10 overall. I love this movie. I would literally watch it anytime. Yeah, I think it's great. I'm so glad that you liked it.
Yeah, I really, really liked it. I gave it the score of 9 out of 10.
A solid A.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. I don't know exactly when, but it's definitely a movie where I'm definitely going to be watching this in the future at some point, which is like the highest praise, honestly.
Yeah, love it. It's also a very like comforting, warm film that I feel like, even though, you know, there's some sad parts, but you know, there's a little Christmas in there.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
kind of fun to watch like leading up to the holidays.
It's a good November movie.
A great November movie. It looks like November.
Exactly. Yeah. I think for our first film of what we watch, it was a really good one to start with.
A solid start.
Solid start.
I'm so glad. Yeah.
Hopefully we can agree like this on all movies, but
probably
we'll see.
Won't. I know. I'm like, if we just keep agreeing, is this really a fun podcast? Like, what do we, maybe we're a lot more similar than we thought, Garrett.
Yeah. I think the next movie for the next episode, my pick, could potentially start making our opinions a little bit different. I could see you really liking this movie, but I could also see you not liking it. So, or like not loving it as much as I do. So,
what are we
drum
watching?
Roll, please. Next episode, we will be watching, for Garrett's first pick, The Truman Show.
Never seen it. I love that we've chose movies that, like, you hadn't seen that one. I haven't seen this one. Mm-hmm. Should be fun. I'm excited.
Yep. So we'll see if we agree like we did on this one. And if we do, then the next pick, I'm just going to make it super controversial, something that I probably really love and I know you're probably not going to like.
Perfect. So, I'll do the same thing.
Yeah.
If we both love The Truman Show, watch out for week four.
When we get episode 4. We get into, like, you're going to make me watch Twilight or something.
No, literally, I'm like, time to watch some girly pop stuff.
Mm-hmm. Would be February, so.
Hey.
Valentine's Day, perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, so next week, Truman Show, or 2 weeks from now, Truman Show. So listeners, go watch Truman Show, form your own opinions, and then come listen to us talk about it. Give us your thoughts on what you thought of this episode. Do you agree with our opinions? Is there anything you would want to add? Anything
we missed?
Exactly.
Anything that you want to talk about? Go comment on our YouTube. Also, go follow our Instagram. Go follow our TikTok. Go support, share with friends. Again, we're so grateful for you guys. And we hope you like this episode.
We shall see you next time.
Yay.